All right, Lord willing, we're going to begin 1 Corinthians this evening, and it's been upon my heart for quite some time. And as I was just preparing and praying today about the Lord bringing this forth for us, it was just encouraging to me how perfectly God is always, well, He's just always in sync, but how wonderful when we can yield to Him and we can come into that fellowship, and our lives can become in that, like I say, in sync with God, I guess. It's just in that harmony and what He does in our lives. And I thought how, Brother John Hill has been bringing forth the Romans study. And I honestly hadn't thought about this in any way, shape, or form, but God just reminded me again how, son, I have it all under control, and my ways are perfect. And I thought, as He encouraged me, that again, for us to have any grasp upon truly any of the epistles that Paul had written, you know, via the Lord and the Holy Spirit inspiring him, that we do need to have a wonderful grasp and understanding of the book of Romans. It has to happen. And I believe in, not to compliment a person, but again, God's faithfulness in a life and how mighty that word has been brought out to us in that book. And it's been a precious study. So this 1 Corinthians is a letter that is setting the church in order. It's an answer, actually, to the book of Numbers, in which Moses was instructed to set up the tabernacle in the wilderness. So it's precious how God is unfolding that as well to us in this study. Now, I think it's important to understand a little bit about this city of Corinth at this time as well, too. And Corinth was a principal city of Greece. It was surrounded by two main ports, and it made the city very active in trade. It made it very wealthy. It was a luxurious city. And for those who are somewhat familiar with Corinthians, it was no wonder that that the love, I guess, of luxuries brought this city into very infamous for its sin and its sinful nature and how rampant sin was in this city. To be a Corinthian was a phrase, a saying at the time I was able to read this, and I thought it was kind of interesting. You know how we have little sayings, and the saying there was, oh, you're being a Corinthian. Well, when somebody called you that, it wasn't very nice. And, you know, really how that translated is you were acting like a whore. So you can see what God was dealing with here, but it was amazing that even in the midst of all this sin that was going on, God saw fit to plant a church here. Okay? So don't ever limit Him. And again, His ways aren't our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. His ways are past finding out. And I'll tell you, don't ever try to analyze it. Just believe Him. But God planted a church there, and He continued to raise and to bless them through the ministry of Paul. And not just give them a ministry, as we'll read into this by the grace of God, you'll see that these folks were being called to the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. There was a definite message to these folks that a lot of times we seem to pass over, but God was dealing with them in a great way. But Paul was with them for almost 2 years before he left. And after his departure, it was some time later that he wrote the letters of 1st and 2nd Corinthians to them. And this letter is a letter that's attempting to, in some respects, to correct the disorder that was abounding after his departure. And as you read in this word and in this letter, most of the disorder that truly, really was going on was because of false teaching that had come in when he departed. And again, you have to remember, this was a city that was full of philosophers. I mean, if you think about Greece and its history, they had, you know, such like Aristotle, Socrates. They had the great thinkers, the great minds that we even acknowledge and admire today that, you know, really got us into our free thinking world that we have today. And I, again, it's wonderful that God has given us minds. It's wonderful that God has given us ability when it's all under His power. And that's the thing that we have to understand. And I think that's one of the testimonies and directions that God was giving these Corinthians through Paul. But these were conceited men as a whole. They believed that the doctrine of the Bible, that the doctrine that Paul was bringing to them was really too plain, that there was always something new that needed to be introduced. And I was thinking again how similar that is today. Man is pretty much an animal that returns to his own vomit, the Word of God says. I don't need to make up any more allegory for you or anything of that nature. I think that's quite fitting. Apart from God, that's where we go. And we'll keep returning there. And these people always were trying to puff themselves up and basically leaving the doctrine. So we see that this arrogance fed this society, as we'll read into this, and even the Christians there. And God warns them of many things. And just to point out a couple before we get there, this was a society, and even the Christians were entering into much litigation. There were lawyers running rampant there, and they were going to court with one another quite frequently, and God was getting after them at this time for it. They were taking their problems before men. One of the other things that I thought was very interesting, and I think it's important that you understand that this was rampant in this society. This was rampant in these people, but God loved them. God wanted them to receive His Word that could deliver them from these things. He was after them, and God is after us today. And His arm is never shortened, and I'm going to tell you, He can get it done. But one of the other things was, too, is that their eyes were full of lust, and it kind of culminated in the outward and professed and actually accepted practice of incest. We'll read in here that that sons were taking the dad's wives. And I mean, this is getting pretty abominable, I would think. I can't think of too many things that would be hard to eat. But these are some of the things where sin can lead. And I think of what sin is doing today in our society and, oh my, where we might be headed, but for the grace of God. So going into chapter 1, Paul is going to address these Corinthians, and he encourages them in chapter 1 to gather as one, to seek the unity of the Spirit. And that is and only was and only will be done in the name of Jesus. And it's so precious how God lays out this name right from the start, as we'll read here in just a moment, that Jesus is the all-powerful name, that He is the name above all names, that Jesus Christ is the very power of God. Again, as we studied the last couple Bible studies of the sovereignty, the deity of the Word of God, and that is Jesus Christ. And how man today and what the enemy is trying to do is to lessen place that God has for His Son, which is everything's is going to be in His name. It's all empowered in Him. That the gospel of Jesus Christ is the very power of God, the Word tells us. That the name of Jesus Christ is the power whereby that we become the sons of God. And it is an insult to God that we think that we could bring anything to Him. And I think about people that say, well, there's many ways to God. And how that must hurt God. How that must affect Him. That, again, in His great love for this world, that He gave His only begotten Son. So this name is the name that He wants to inscribe upon our lives by the grace of God. The highest calling, I think, is as well, too, where He says, I'm searching for a people for My name's sake. Isn't that wonderful? And this is that wonderful name and what it can become to us. And I hope that His name is something to you that at any time, at any moment, that name Jesus brings every emotion, every bit of faith, every bit of feeling, every bit of anything that we could ever possess as a human being, and more importantly, as a son of God that can enthrill us. In a moment when I'm in fear, I can speak the name of Jesus and I can hear that. And it rings peace through my soul. It is. It's just peace be still. It's there. In a moment when I utter that name, it can cause me to cry. Tears of just, whether they are godly sorrow, whether it's godly joy, whatever it is, it just brings everything out in us in that wonderful name of Jesus. And what possibilities lie there before us. So as we begin in this chapter 1, we'll see that chapter 1 lays out for us the divine plan for the church of God, and it is very straightforward. It's in the name of His Son. So let's begin here. In verse 1, chapter 1 of 1 Corinthians, it says, Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God, and Sosthenes, our brother. Now, right away, this is wonderful. Paul is declaring the reason that he should be accepted, the reason that he has this appointment with these people, that he has this place where he can bring them the Word of God and they should heed to it, is because he was called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God. And I, again, think that that is so mighty in our lives. How often we seek places that are not for us. And brothers and sisters, I'm going to tell you, the Word of God is very clear. If He's made you to be a nose, don't try to be a knee. If He's caused you to be an ear, don't try to be an eye. And in its simplicity, it speaks volumes to us. Take the place that God has for you. There'll be harmony. There'll be sweetness. That's where He'll enrich your life. Where you try to step outside of that and force something that you think is more godly or more religious or more special, you'll miss God's best. You will. Take the place that He has for you. And this is what's so wonderful about Brother Paul here, is he says that it was through the will of God that I became an apostle, that God willed this in my life. And I believe that Paul really learned that in Romans chapter 7, verse 15 there. And you can turn there with me briefly if you'd like. But where he said, "For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I." So he realized that he couldn't will anything good in his life. It was over. I think Paul finally came to that point, obviously, and I appreciate how personal this is and how personal Paul's walk, as he said, "Follow me as I follow Christ Jesus," into the very best, into the very high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Paul so specifically and clearly said to us there, "You know what? If you're going to cause me to boast, I'm going to tell you I live more righteously in a sense than any of you in the eyes of men. But you know what? It was filthy rags. It was all dung. But for the excellency, the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Christ Jesus." And he says only He could do it. So it had to be the will of God that got him to this place. All right. And you'll notice here too, Jesus Christ is mentioned first. And you'll wonder, well, why does God do that? Because truly the church is set. The head is Jesus Christ. God set that up, that the head of the church is our wonderful Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now this brother Sosthenes that he mentions here, you'll read about him in Acts chapter 18, verse 17. And he was a ruler of the synagogue, and he was converted and became a precious brother, and he was even beaten for it. So it was precious that Paul, again, thinking of his brothers, encouraging his brothers. See, it was an amazing thing that Paul didn't bring this glory to himself. He acknowledged, he edified, he encouraged other brothers and sisters in Christ. He mentioned them not to give them a big head, but again to say, you know what, the faithfulness of God is working in you too. It's a ministry about the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's not about a man. Okay. "Unto the church of God, which is at Corinth." And again, this church of God that he's talking about, he's encouraging here right from the start, the unity that's in Christ, "to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called saints." Now, since we've had this study on the Word of God, we understand that the italicized words are words that were put in. I appreciate some of them. Some of them have no bearing that they should really be in there, and those shouldn't be in there at this time. You're not called to be saints, you're called saint. Okay, so I will just tell you that right now. When you're sanctified in Christ Jesus, you are a saint. All right? A saint is not someone that is designated through a church organization that did so many acts or so many good things, or they fed so many hungry people, or they were not married all of their life, or whatever it may be. A saint, as we know and as we read here, is to them that are sanctified or set apart. They are considered holy in Christ Jesus. They're called saints. Okay? And it goes on to say, "with all that in every place." Now, I appreciate this because this is including me. This is every place of time, every place of anywhere that it could be. The other ones that are saints, and by His grace, I'm a saint today. In every place, "call upon the name of Jesus Christ." And again, that's how we're saint. That's the only requirement. "Our Lord, both theirs and ours." So, see, we possess the Lord just as Paul can possess the Lord. And Jesus Christ is no respecter of person. He came, and as it says there in 1 Timothy 2:4, "He would that all men be saved." All men be saved. And it didn't stop there again, and come to a knowledge, or in the Greek as we understand that, a full knowledge of the truth. That's the plan. That's the purpose. If you are a human being, that's all men, all mankind, okay? Ladies included. to come to a full knowledge of the truth. That will satisfy you. A lot of people don't want to go. They don't want to continue on with that line upon line and precept upon precept. They don't want to have the patience of God worked into their life. I found that He'll enrich you so, it'll amaze you in every single bit of your life. Praise God. All right, going on. Verse 3. He says, "Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ." Always the God and His sweet Son are always in harmony. But you'll notice here again, grace is always going to precede peace. You will never have peace without grace. When you limit grace in any way, shape, or form in your life and try to do something else, and really if it's not the grace of God, it's something of yourself. You understand that. You won't have peace. You might experience some type of a temporal happiness, a temporal satisfaction, but it will end because it is not the grace of God. And grace is in His Son. And I think it's so precious here as well, too, because Paul is saluting them at this time. He's basically, here is his introduction. And you'll notice here, he says, "Grace be unto you." And that really encouraged me that if we're ever going to witness to anyone, you better pray that we're full of grace when we approach them. I want peace when I'm speaking with someone about the things of God. I really do. I believe that we come in that truth and love. And that love is the grace of God. And this truth is His grace as well too. But we need to have that seasoned, wonderful grace in our speech, brothers and sisters. That's going to win Him. I remember being a kid and I remember... And the Lord spoke to me, I know, at that time. I'd walk into the Bronco game, and there'd be that man up on that box every time I walked in there. And I was a Christian, and he'd scare me. And he was telling me if I didn't believe the Lord, I'd go to hell. And I did believe the Lord, but just his demeanor, the way he was saying it, and all of those. And as I got older, I understood, just thinking back about that, and even knowing at that age, there wasn't the grace in that speech. There wasn't something that I was even, as a Christian, really attracted to in that because it didn't have the grace of God. Now, however Christ is preached, whether in pretense and all of those things, we therein do rejoice. And Brother Paul said again, to remind you if you forgot about it, and again I say, rejoice. And that's a hard thing for us sometimes. But I want to joy and rejoice from brothers and sisters, even the most baby ones, because they do know Him as Savior. Okay? So that's what the Word of God tells me. And when He tells me something like that, I do want to be in harmony with Him and not be in harmony, or I should say in chaos, with my own self-righteousness. All right. So again, we want to bring this grace in our speech. Now going on in verse 4, he says, "I thank my God always on your behalf." See how thankful he was for ones that love the Lord? I hope you're thankful for your brothers and sisters in Christ. I hope especially that you're thankful, and I do believe you are, for your brothers and sisters in this place. And I hope you draw encouragement for those who are running well, that they can be an example to you, that whose faith you're following. Not the person, but the faith, the love, the truth that's set before you. And by the grace of God, that we may be a testimony of that to someone else as well too. What a privilege that God has brought us in to a meeting such as this. I think of Brother Paul Smith, how he wrote that letter to us. And he has written a few other letters from time to time as well too that were very similar to that. He admires. He does. And in a sense, I tell you, in a good way, that envies to be here in this meeting, to be around such love and grace. He appreciates that. It's a joy and a thrill. When I told him about the President's Day convention coming up, he perked up so quickly. He said, "Well, you know what? I need some time away." Isn't that wonderful? And you know the time away. We're going to get him up here by the grace of God, and he'll be working. You know, he's got to, if we're going to feed him, he better put in some time. But I just appreciate him. But it was so wonderful how he was excited to be in the meeting with us and to share the Word of God. And let me tell you something, as much as we appreciate him to come in here and give the Word of God, and I can say the same for Brother Hawkins, I know that it is mutual. I really do, because the love of God, it's infectious, isn't it? It's wonderful. You want to be around it. And praise God, again, by His grace, that it's in this place because it's Jesus Christ in us. All right, so he says, I thank my God always on your behalf, thankful for his brothers, full of love, for the grace of God, which is given you. And again, these next two verses, you'll see the word by, and that's a wonderful thing to think that it's given by Jesus Christ, but there truly is a better interpretation of that. It's the word in. And in those verses, it should really be more properly interpreted as in. That in, it says there, which is given you in Jesus Christ. The grace of God is given to us in Jesus Christ. Praise God. It's there. It's for us. Then it goes on to say that in everything ye are enriched in Him. Isn't that wonderful? In everything. In every single thing. I was visiting with a couple here before church, and I was thinking this afternoon how I appreciated growing up in this place. I appreciated so much how when I became a teenager that the Word of God and the appreciation really for this place started to hit me. And it did. And an appreciation that God was enriching me. I knew that. God was enriching me through my Sunday school teacher. He was enriching me through the fellowship of the saints. And even though I was rebellious in my different ways and all, I knew by the grace of God that He was enriching me here. But the difference was, is I did not allow Him to enrich me throughout all the things in my life. And it really hit me, I'm going to tell you, about 10 years ago. Why not have it all? You know, it's kind of where why me turns into why not me. When I learn and understand that He wants me to have everything. Praise God. And He wants me to be enriched in Him in everything. And it's already there. See, that's the beautiful thing. It is already there for my life. All I have to do is take it. All I have to do is receive it from Him. But the thing is I cannot hold back any pieces or parts of my life. Am I going to fully? See, the Word of God, it's complete, isn't it? He said He fully went after the Lord. If you're not fully going after the Lord, then there is a part or parts of your life, I hope you're listening, that are not being enriched by Him tonight. I think that's foolishness. Don't you believe that? I do. I think that's my lack of faith. I think it could be selfishness on my part. Bottom line, it's stupidity on my part. Is really what it is, because I'm thinking that there's something that I don't want to give to God that He's not going to be able to enrich, and it's better if I just hold it myself. Do you see that? I hope you do. And do you see really how ignorant that is? How good God can be, how He is that exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think God. And that is in everything. That's the enrichment that He's talking about in our life. So praise His name, that I would hope that He would encourage us that. Okay, now, going on here, He says, now, that we are enriched by Him in all utterance and in all knowledge. Now, this is precious, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you. And this is important here. We're talking about testimony, about this testimony that Paul has, that the testimony that these brothers and sisters have. And you'll notice here, it says it's in all utterance and in all knowledge. And I think about this. Think these destitute Corinthians, they were enriched by God's grace. And when I say destitute, they were locked in. If Jesus tarry, we're going to read about a lot of this sin that they were locked into. Practicing. Allowing to come in. But God in His faithfulness said, I want you to come after me. I'm going to enrich you. Trust me. Trust me, take the correction, understand the order that I want in your assembly, and I'm going to tell you, it'll enrich your life like you can't believe. You can come out from among them and be ye separate. You really can. He can keep us, brothers and sisters, in this world today. Don't doubt God. I'll tell you, I have to pray every day, especially for Him to give me faith for my children. Because I look at this old world, and I look at the things that they have to face. And I look at the things that God, in a sense, well, boy, Lord, you have your work cut out for you. But is anything hard for Him? There isn't. There isn't. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. If He's for me, who could be against me? And I have to understand that. And you know what? He's for my children because you know what? They're little sons of God. And He's the same for them. But again, that's the test of my faith. I'm telling you. I think it's so beautiful how God does test us with the most tender things in our life. I can have faith for the things in my life. I get sick. By the grace of God, I'm going to trust Him. Oh, Lord can heal me. I don't need to go there and touch that. Don't need to do this. Oh, that didn't work out. That's okay. That's God's will. Now, if it's my child, now that's a whole different story. Lord, what are you doing? You see? And He touches each one of us in a different way. You know that. And He'll use those tender things. Whether it's your spouse, whether it's your mom, dad, friends, different things in your life. Let me tell you, God loves you and He'll use them. So just rest assured. But you'll notice here it says, in all utterance and in all knowledge. And this is a precious thing here, because you'll notice that this is talking about testimony. And testimony has two requirements it speaks about here. Is that it needs utterance and knowledge. We could be full of utterance. I could use other words for that. But we could be full of utterance. But if I don't have any knowledge, it's going to be empty, isn't it? And I need to have knowledge of my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I need to have knowledge of His grace, of His truth, of His love. And I know lots of people that like to spew lots of things. And I hear them. And I see them. By the grace of God, I want to be, in a sense, patient and give them time. But very shortly, the Lord just encouraged me, you got to cut that off, son. That ain't going nowhere. There's no knowledge behind that. There's no love in that knowledge. There's not that's that greatest thing that the Lord encourages us to know about Him. It's not there. But then on the other hand, we can have knowledge. But if we don't have utterance, where's that going to take me? It's like having that wonderful gift in a napkin and it never comes out. It's like Brother Hill used to talk about that Dead Sea, huh? Has all the knowledge, it's storing all of it up, but where's the love that's releasing it out? You want fruit in your life, you do. You want to be fruitful by the grace of God. The love has to flow out, and it takes both of these things. It takes the utterance and the knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed unto you and how God brings that out. So going on in verse 7, it says, so that ye come behind, and think again who he's speaking to, these ones that are pretty much decaying right now spiritually, but that ye come behind in no gift. He wants the best for them. He does. He says, let me tell you something. God's got a plan for you. And it doesn't stop there. Waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that wonderful? I was thinking about the greatest gift that encompassed all the gifts that he was talking about here was truly the gift of faithfulness that would bring them everything to perform the will of God in their life. And even the very perfect will of God, which is to be looking, to be longing, and to be loving His appearing. Isn't that wonderful? Right off the bat, He says that to these folks. That you would be looking for that. That you would be waiting for that. That there would be that patient, wonderful rejoicing in the appearing of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And to them that are looking for Him, He is going to appear a second time. He wasn't excluding these people because of their sin, because of their problems that they were having. He was encouraging them to come out of those things. Come out of those things. He doesn't want the power of sin to be resting upon us. Brothers and sisters, I think on Sunday God's going to really deal with us about that. A precious text that the Lord brought out to me. But He doesn't want us to have sin reigning in our lives. That's not the plan. We want God reigning in our life. We want the love and the very power of His might. See? We've been given the very power of His might by the grace of God. The Holy Spirit empowering us into the very bride of Christ. Conquering on the way. Again, if He be for us, who could be against us? Praise His name. All right. So waiting for the coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Who shall also confirm you unto the end. There we got those italicized words again, and I would just put a line through them. Who shall also confirm you unto the end blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Not that I may be blameless. Not that brothers and sisters in Christ are maybe blameless. They're blameless. You're perfect. You're perfect in standing. I hope you understand that. Once you've accepted Christ, you are as righteous, you are as holy as you will ever be. All right? Now, the state is a whole different topic. We'll address some of that, Lord willing, on Sunday. But God wants us to be encouraged that, you know, He is the keeper. He is confirming us unto the end, blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. See, and again, that allows me to get on with the grace of God. Do you see people that are caught up into self-righteousness, into the works, and thinking that I could lose my salvation? I'm missing the true work of God in my life. I'm wasting my time. I'm wasting my time, first of all, in fear and unbelief. And if I'm caught into that, I know that I'm being corrupted. I know that I'm being bewitched, as the Word of God tells me. And I'm not able to grow up unto Him into all things in Christ Jesus. See, I don't want to be stunted. I don't want to be accursed, as the Word of God tells me. And that's what that word means. It means to stunt my growth. I want to grow up fully. I want to be, by the grace of God, as that Shulamite that was ready. That He spoke of every feature on her body. That it was fully mature. That it was perfect. That it was wonderful. See? Don't be inhibited with God. Isn't that wonderful? I praise Him how He was so enraptured, so in love. That was just such a, again, the Song of Solomon. What a beautiful a type of what we can become and what He sees of His image growing in us. All right, going on. It says then that He will confirm you in the end, blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, this is nice that we've just come off of the Revelation study. Now, we understand the day of the Lord begins at the rapture of the bride and culminates at the end of the tribulation. Okay, it's a very long day. But a day with the Lord is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is as a day. All right, so just continue to remember that in your hearts, and we pray, Lord, even so, come quickly. All right, verse 9. God is faithful. Well, isn't that wonderful? Praise His name. Even when we don't abide faithful, He's faithful still. And we know that. And He's the one that does the keeping. By whom ye were called unto the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Now, this is so wonderful because this verse really is telling us that God backs us. That God is for us. You know, I think about people that always want backing. I've got to have a promoter. I've got to have a manager. I've got to have, basically, I've got to have money. You know, I've got to have money backing me to do anything. You know, I remember being in business. How many people would always come by and, you know, and I'd think, oh my. You know, well, first of all, you have to have an idea, a plan. That's a whole different story. But everybody just wanted to jump the gun. But see, with God, He backs us because God is faithful. Once you've accepted His Son, you've become, again, His child. And He backs you as He backs His Son. And we have to rest in that. We have to rest assured in that, that He is for us, that every provision to conquer and to be victorious in this life, every provision has been made. And then again, that we're called into this fellowship. Isn't that wonderful? We're not called just to be, again, a child. We're called to come into fellowship. He wants you to grow up. He wants to be able to talk and communicate and to tell you how He loves you and that you can tell Him, Lord, I love you too. And I understand what You're doing in my life because I believe Your Word. I understand that You're for me. I believe You that when You tell me that the trying of my faith is more precious than gold, that You won't tempt me beyond what I can bear. Or try me, I should say, beyond what I can bear. That You're in control. Those are the fellowshipping that we have with God, that He understands that we're growing up. And that's what He's going to fellowship as His bride someday. It's going to be an equal. It's going to be someone that understands the love of God, that comes into the fullness, even grown up into the same and very image of Him. Isn't that wonderful? Don't limit Him. Don't limit Him in your life. Don't let your unbelief, don't let your self-righteousness. I've heard a lot of people say, oh, I'm hearing that, and you're telling me that He wants you to become to that type of stature? No way. You're trying to put yourself on a platform with God? Oh, absolutely not. I'm just accepting what He wants to do in my life. And I understand it's nothing of me, but I do know that it's a promise. If I'll trust Him, He'll grow me up. And He'll grow me up into all things. Praise His name. his name. All right. So going on, we're in verse 10. It says, "Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment." I wonder if Paul was here today writing us a letter. Oh my, what would he think? He thought they had some divisions back then in Christianity. Can you imagine today? Praise his name. So, see, we have to have faith, don't we? Yeah, that God's going to work it out in our life. But you'll notice here in the very first part of this verse, everything is in the name of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He's bringing it back. By the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That ye speak the same thing. That there would be unity. That there would be brotherly love among you. That there wouldn't be any divisions. And, you know, brothers and sisters, we have been long enough in this meeting and knowing what goes on, even back in some of the grace meetings back in Missouri and all. And you see those things that just, you know, just the continued divisions. God doesn't want that. God wants unity in the Spirit. He wants us rejoicing with one another, for one another. Not trying to cause divisions among us. Not coming in here and trying to stir up and cause discord among brethren. That's something God hates. Do you understand that that's the enemy? When he gets in there and he tries to do those types of things. Well, I don't like brother so-and-so. Well, he isn't like the brother that used to do that. Or I didn't like the way she did this. It's just the enemy. It's not about the messenger. It's about the message, brothers and sisters. And I believe by the grace of God we're on track with that. But I'm going to tell you, we can't just rely on our laurels of the past and, you know, be hanging our coats on the things. We got to forget those things which are behind. And we need to trust the Spirit of the Lord every single day. Every day. To bring us the manna to feed us for that day. We have to trust in it. And grow in it. Okay? And we need to not be caught up in the things of the world. I also don't want to be ignorant of the devil's devices. But at the same time, I want to promote unity. I want to promote the love of God. And the best way I can do that is I can live that in my life. I can speak it with my lips. But I'm going to tell you, if I live that in my life, it'll speak more than even professing it with my lips. So, something, again, that we need to be in constant prayer for. But again, it says that ye speak the same thing, that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. Isn't that wonderful? Let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. See, he didn't ask for my mind, your mind, all that. It's just Jesus' mind. We get Jesus' mind in us, and I'll tell you what, there'll be harmony. There'll be unity in the things of God. Isn't that wonderful? And we'll have judgment. We'll have like judgment. Because we'll look to the Word for our answers. We're not going to be looking to the thought or how to promote Jesus in a different way. I mean, God willing, we're going to get to a place where it says, I didn't come here to entice you with the wisdom of words. It's in the cross. And how many times do you hear anymore? And again, this last week, my wife was sitting with a man that was, they were talking about how they're marketing God now. How we're going to promote Jesus now. It's not with enticing words. It's not with philosophy. It's not with fanfare. It's not with emotion. Timothy, preach the Word. Preach the Word. That's the effectual thing in your life that will change you. From glory to glory to glory to glory. Isn't that wonderful? I want His best. And His best is simple. His best is so plain. His best is so evident. And God tells us over and over, and especially in this Corinthians, it's in the name of my Son. And it's in that power and in that name that will keep you. Yes, He will keep you. Praise God. I was thinking again today, Lord, I want to be full of faith. I don't want to be worrying about being full of sin. I don't want to be worrying about this sin not to do or this sin being over my life. If I'm full of faith, that'll cast all that stuff out. You see, it's just a different way of looking at it. And it's called believing. I'm going to believe Him to keep me. I'm going to believe Him to encourage my heart that when I am going astray, when I am going off in my own mind or my own philosophy or trying to fit the gospel into my lifestyle, I see heads turning or sinking, one of the two, it's not going to work. It just doesn't. By the grace of God, I just want to live the life that He's encouraged me to live. And it's the only life which is by faith. By faith in Jesus Christ. Because I understand that whatsoever is not of faith is sin. So I understand working backwards is, so whatsoever is of faith isn't sin. Isn't that something? I want to be in faith. That'll take care of it. In the Word of God. Praise His name. All right. Let's just finish out a couple more thoughts here real quick and we'll close it up. For it hath been declared unto me of you, my brethren, by them which are of the house of Chloe, that there are contentions among you. So, yes, there were divisions, some contentions and different things. And I think this is interesting, this house of Chloe. This was a woman. Nothing much is more is mentioned of her, but she must have been a respected woman of the church. And Paul didn't hide his sources. Yeah, that'd have been a scary guy. You know, he said something to Paul. Well, he was going to tell you right now who said it, right? No. But the thing was, is this was an edifying thing. This wasn't, well, I'm telling on Chloe or I'm telling on you. See, they had a respect for her that she wasn't being judgmental. She wasn't being condemning. She loved them. And she was going to a godly man to say, you know what, we need prayer. We need a lot of prayer here. The enemy's coming in. You know, and I know that you've got that kind of heart that you're going to pray for these folks. And you're going to seek the Lord and be encouraged to give us the Word of God. Because, and that's how we need to be. It's not being busybodies with one another. It's not trying to stir up gossip with one another. There'll be times the Lord will encourage you to go to somebody and say, will you pray with me about this situation? See, that's godly wisdom. That's being in unity with the mind of Christ and in judgment. Such a wonderful thing. A lot of wonderful instruction in this word. Now this I say, that every one of you saith, I am of Paul, I am of Apollos, I am of Cephas, and I am of Christ. So see, there were all these different divisions here that these different ones were saying. Some of them might have said, well, I'm of Paul because Paul was kind of the founder. Or I'm of Apollos because Apollos was known to be a very eloquent speaker. Or I'm of Peter, that's Cephas there, basically because he was a disciple, he was with Jesus Christ. And then the other ones say, well, I'm of Christ. And you always kind of think, well, what did you mean by that? Well, I met a few people one time, and I finally kind of understood that. People that really were just adhering to only the words that Christ spoke. And then it kind of hit me with this verse, well, I'm of Christ. Well, isn't this Christ? Isn't the Word of God Jesus Christ? Wasn't He the one that became flesh and dwelt among us? Amen. This is His Word. This is our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So again, when they're trying to pick these things out and separate and cause divisions, you can see what they were causing here. It's the full Word of God. Hallelujah. And we want that revealed to us. Okay, then going on to verse 13, it says, is Christ divided? Well, Galatians 3:28, if you read over there, it says, there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in who? In Christ Jesus. There's no divisions there. You're one in Him. We are one in Him. There is one body by the grace of God, and we're all perfectly fit into that body. And obviously we hope to attain into the body, in a sense, within the body, as we understand the rib portion that became His bride. But is Christ divided? No. Was Paul crucified for you? Isn't this precious how Paul brings this out? Don't magnify me. I'm just a man. I'm just a man with a marvelous, wonderful message that was bestowed. What great grace. Listen to the Word. Follow me as I follow who? Christ. He didn't say follow me. He said follow me as I follow Christ. Praise God. So Paul was Paul crucified for you? No. Were you baptized in the name of Paul? No. I thank God that I baptized none of you. Oh, this is getting into something here. And it said, but Crispus and Gaius. And Crispus here was another one of those converted ones that were in the synagogue. So wonderful. And Gaius, you'll read about him in Romans 16:23. He was one that hosted many of these gatherings with Paul. But it says there, Paul said, I thank God that I didn't baptize any of you. Stay with me on this one. We're going to wrap this up. I think this gets real interesting. You can sleep on it tonight. All right, it says, lest any should say that I had baptized in my own name. Paul knew where these people would go with stuff. Oh, Paul baptized me. Well, I'm special. You see where that stuff can go? Come on now, I appreciate people that love me and all of that different stuff and all, but brothers and sisters, it's the Lord. It's the Lord. I'll tell you, you know, He'll fill you by yourself. Listen to those sisters. I remember they were walking down the street and they said they were walking down there on the 16th Street Mall. And the Holy Spirit hit them and that was it. Brother I know that was filled driving a tractor, Brother Jerry Tabor. Yep, just driving along. There wasn't anybody with him. Brother Hill wasn't laying hands on him. Paul wasn't. It's Jesus. It's Jesus. I want to point you by the grace of God. And this was Brother Paul. He kept pointing him to Jesus. Because he knew where man's affections wanted to lie. We want to lie our affections in things that we see and that we touch and that we feel. It's faith. It's faith. We stay in faith, we're going to stay in the right place because it's going to be the only faith is in Jesus Christ. So he goes on in verse 16 and he says, and I baptized also the household of Stephanas. And I think this is wonderful. I just want to read you a real quick thing on him, which is 1 Corinthians 16:15. So if you turn over to the 16th about this Stephanas or Stephanas here, I love what it says about him. If you ever wanted to be an addict, I'll tell you what kind of addict you should be. It says here in the 15th verse, I beseech you, brethren, ye know the house of Stephanas, that it is the first fruits of Achaia, and that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. This is one of the very first converts into one of the first fruits in Achaia. And this is this area of Corinth that they're talking about here. And it's so wonderful, but they addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. And then he goes on to say that ye submit yourselves unto such in that manner as well too. You want to get addicted to something? Get addicted to the ministry of Jesus Christ. Allow Him to work effectually in your life. That's the addiction you want to have. Everything else in this world's coming at us in a mighty way, brothers and sisters. But be addicted to the things of Christ. And he said, well, I baptized that house, going back to the 16th verse. I know not whether I baptized any other. So Paul is kind of laying some stuff about baptism here, isn't he? He says, I don't know. First of all, I'm glad I didn't baptize you. And second of all, I don't even know who I really baptized. Okay. Stay with me. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. Now, if you ever wanted to understand the last chapter of Matthew, which is Matthew 28, where it's talking about there, when Christ says to those disciples, go into all the lands, preach the gospel, and baptize in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Because all power is given unto me, actually, we should probably just turn there. I think this is important, because there's some that I know still struggle with that. And don't be ashamed. This is why we're here. This is why we're learning the Word of God. This is Matthew 28, and we'll read from the 16th verse. I'm going to keep you just a little bit longer tonight, and I hope you bear with me. It says, then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee and into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw Him, they worshipped Him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Now, is He speaking of that time, or is this another time? We just went through Revelation. This is a quiz. Huh? It's a future time, isn't it? When everything's going to be put in His name. That's right. It's coming. It's a time that's going to come. And we saw that it's the day of the Lord is when He's going to have that power. And that'll be at the end of the tribulation when He is given that. Go ye therefore, and this is at this time, this is the millennium time, and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Ghost. teaching them to observe all the things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Now, if that was the Great Commission, put it together. If that was the Great Commission to go into all the world and baptize. And we're just going to stop with that baptizing, because we know that right now we're under whatsoever ye do, do all in the name of what? Who? Jesus. That's it. How did he start with Corinthians? Jesus. Okay? It's in that name. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost is going to be that time. Not this time. Okay? So there's another proof of it. But getting back to this thought here, if this was the Great Commission, and I got another thing from a brother that used to come here today, and he's been sending me some stuff, and I'm going to just have to get on him about the Great Commission. Oh, it hurts my heart. Don't get into that. That's the enemy's stuff, because it's stunting you, and it will defeat you from God's best. It feels so good. It seems so right. Yes, he did will that all men would be saved and come to a full knowledge of the truth. But right now is the age and the time, brothers and sisters, that he's gathering people for his name's sake. That's what this age is about. I want people to get saved. God wants people to get saved. But the age now, right now, is to get a bride who makes herself ready. Okay? So, if the Great Commission was to go out and to baptize, what is Paul saying here then? Then Paul is the biggest sinner, non-compliant one I've ever met with the Word of God. He just said, I wasn't sent to baptize. And this was the man that got the full dispensation, the mystery of Christ was revealed to him. Is it becoming more clear? Is he lining upon lining and precept on precepting on you in defense of the gospel? Praise God, I hope he is tonight. I think this is a wonderful thing. See how many times God proves himself over and over and over in the Word of God? This isn't a confusing thing. Just rightfully divide it. Just rightfully divide it. Not in arrogance. It's by the grace of God. I get excited about these things. I love to see truth. I believe you do too. I love when God brings me into another glory and into another enlightenment. It's a wonderful thing. But he said, God didn't send me into this world to baptize, Christ didn't send me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. And again, baptism, as he's saying here, is but a sign. It's a memorial. It's one of the ordinances. We are saved by grace, not by water. Brother Copley says this. We're saved by faith, not by baptism. Okay? Let's put a final nail in this before we depart. Acts chapter 8, 35. It's Acts chapter 8, 35. Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. It's a good thing to preach. And as they went on their way, they came into a certain water. And the eunuch, or the man that he was speaking to there, he said, see, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized? And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, that thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. Okay. Why do we baptize children today? Really, I don't know. I have lots of thoughts. But we understand that there's nothing supporting that in the Word of God, and especially that part right there. There's nothing to it. Amen. We're getting into tradition, aren't we? We're getting into ceremony, getting into a lot of different things. But mainly what that gets us into is it's all going to be back to what the enemy wants to spread and to teach. And that's the truth. You must believe. You must be born again. And then comes the baptism. That's why with Paul, the impressing thing upon his life was the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. It is. It's a wonderful thing to be baptized. There's a sweet lady here that is encouraged to be baptized that gave her heart to the Lord a long time ago. God gave us it as one of the ordinances. There's a couple others. Communion. Oh, and head coverings, lady. We'll get there. But not tonight. It'd be a little too much for us. But but see, God, He's dealing with us in so many ways. But He said, Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. It had to be grace and grace alone, brothers and sisters. It's so wonderful. He used those ignorant fishermen to be His disciples, didn't He? If there was anything that you were going to add to it, it wouldn't be what God wanted it intended it to be. Had to be His Son. Had to be grace. If it was in enticing words, then God would have been a respecter of persons and said, oh, you had to be an eloquent speaker. You had to have a certain intelligence level to really appreciate the things of God. We're going to read in Corinthians, which you already know, I'm sure. You want to receive the word? It has to be spiritually discerned. If you have an open heart and a willing heart, He'll give it to you. And it comes only one way, by believing, and that's by the grace of God. Let's stand and be dismissed. I'll ask Brother Rick to dismiss us.